Hey, this is Irene. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for joining me, mixing it up with me right here on The Mix. You're listening to CBiz Media.
Hi, looking for affordable, inspirational gifts? Check out our store at cbiztvmedia.com. That's cbiztvmedia.com, and click on our store. Or you can email us at cbiztv@yahoo.com, and we'll send you that link. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to CBiz Media. This is Irene. We have a great topic today. We're talking about breaking up or staying together. We would like for people to stay together, but there's a time where you may have to break up. Well, we have a great guest with us here, Miranda Campbell from Port Counseling, and she holds a master's in social work and a bachelor's in sociology. Can you share a little bit more about yourself and your practice?
Yes, of course. And thank you so much for having me on. I am a mental health therapist, just like you said, licensed in Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. Our practice is 100% online. We have clinicians that work with people on improving their relationships, essentially, whether it's their relationship with their intimate partners, family, relationship with food and their body image, or just how they cope with grief, preserving those relationships with those that are no longer with us, and most important, how you cultivate a positive relationship with yourself.
That's awesome. I love what you do and what you're doing. What area are you guys located in?
So all of our services are actually delivered online. All of us live in Georgia, but we're licensed in just different states as well.
Okay, so anybody who has access to connect with you guys?
Anyone who is residing in Florida, South Carolina, or Georgia can work with us at this time. Who knows, we may add other states in the future, but that's where we are right now.
Okay, sounds great. So our topic today, how to break up, how to stay together. And I was looking at a lot of Hollywood and the entertainment world where just everyone's getting divorced and going through major breakups and issues. And, you know, it could be somewhat disheartening just for not just their community, but, you know, everyday people. I mean, if you see people in Hollywood that supposedly have these perfect lifestyles, if they can't make it work, you know, how can the everyday person that doesn't really have as much going for them, you know, how can they have hope going forward when it comes to love and relationships? So what are your thoughts on the climate when it comes to all these breakups and divorces?
Well, first, I'd like to challenge the notion that, like, if they can't do it with all their money and resources, then how can we? If anything, I'd say that they're the ones with the cards stacked against their relationships because of their fame and exposure and their money and that, like, all the options. I don't know. Call me crazy. I feel like we have this disconnect by putting them on a pedestal, when really we're all relationship goals if we work at it.
That sounds good. I love that perspective that you have. So if people are going through possible breakups and even divorces, like what type of advice would you give them? I know this is kind of generic because everybody has like their own different situations, but generally, what type of advice would you give to people going through divorces and breakups?
Well, first, there's a couple things. First, I'd say, like, just make sure you think it through. And this is, you know, for a few reasons. Like, don't be that person that constantly brings up the D word at the first sign of like despair, or, you know, during every argument or every time things don't go the way that you expected it to, Because for one, you know, 9 times out of 10, you get right back together, or you didn't mean it. And essentially, what you're doing is disrupting a sense of safety, like emotional safety in your relationship. So really just have an internal rule with yourself to give yourself a certain period of time before making that decision. So that's one. The other one is, you know, don't be the person that breaks up or stays just because everyone around you is telling you to do so. And that includes like memes on social media or videos. I mean, everyone's situation is unique, and you really want to make, even if you do follow through on the decision that's like popular vote or whatnot, you want to make sure it's still yours for your own peace of mind. What do you think? I mean, I don't know if you've noticed or if you get a sense that like people are overutilizing social media as a way of like getting a groupthink or a consensus.
Yes, I agree totally. I agree that, we just look at popular culture, social media, our friends, and because of social media, we kind of have an inside seat on probably some things that we may not have known. And we just look at those things and influence us. And when you see all these divorces and just how everybody's doing that, and just how easy, it's not really easy. I mean, when we see publicly how what people are going through, but just how people have seems like they easily make that decision, and it's just like you said, the first thing you jump to is just get out of it because you can. But what can you do to keep it going? Do you want to keep it going? Did you even make the wrong decision in the first place when you decided to be with this person? So it's just like a whole lot to think about. But I like in your practice how you say about really just being your best self. And I kind of think that it starts there even before you get into a relationship scenario. So how can you tell people kind of just to be their best self, like before they even get into a relationship and kind of prepare their minds for like a serious relationship such as marriage?
So I have a mixed thought about that. So it's striking a good balance, and it doesn't even have to be 50-50. For one, I don't think any of us are ever truly like done growing or like are a perfect version of ourselves per se. So while of course I would agree that people should work on themselves so that they do show up in their relationships in a way that gives them the best chances, or in the most, like, I don't know, in a state that would make a healthier relationship. I also believe that people heal in community and through relationships. And so, you know, my personal practice with clients is from an attachment lens. If you want to know more about attachment, a good book to read is Attached. But it talks about like different attachment styles and how we react to certain things, how we perceive what's like a threat. And so, like for me personally, like I grew up or cultivating like a anxious attachment style where it was threatening to me if like I didn't hear from someone. And so that may come across, that may cause havoc like in a relationship if I didn't know that or have it in check to know that like, well, just because they didn't call, or they just because we're in an argument and they're mad at me, it doesn't mean that like our relationship is over. And so sometimes, based on your attachment style, certain things that occur that are normal to occur in relationships makes you act out, whether it's to be extra persistent and sometimes push that partner away, or to withdraw and then again like confuse your partner and give them mixed messages. So I hope that's clear. I know I just like geeked out for a second. If you have any questions about that, or if you're even familiar, I mean, I think it's a lot of the therapy speak is very common now, which I love seeing. Kind of answering this question and going back a bit, I do want to make sure your listeners know that like if you're contemplating a divorce, especially, and sometimes even a breakup, It's great if you can get couples counseling, but don't like let that be the end all be all. Like, know that if your partner is not willing to go to couples counseling, like you going to counseling yourself and working through your own stuff will shift the way you show up in your relationships and ultimately change the course of that relationship. It can't flow the same if you're different. That you're not giving your partner the same things to respond to.
Okay, I like about attachment style. That's a new thing for me, but it makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense that you can be one way by yourself and feel like you're whole and secure, but when you get attached into a relationship, the dynamics with that person and all of that can, kind of flip things and kind of show you some things you need to work on within yourself and all of that. So I really like that look at it, because I think a lot of people don't always look at it that way. And then again, like you're saying, they're focusing on their self and how they need to improve and be better, which is great. But the dynamic will always kind of change when you add another person to that, and you add their personality, and then you might add again your own issues and drama that you've had in past relationships. So yes, all of that is a big factor in how we move and everything when it comes to our love and our lifestyle. I want to also just talk about as well as breaking up, not just romantic, but like if there is a friend or someone close in your life where you just have to kind of part ways, like how do you deal with something in that situation when there's someone that's just close to you, a friend that might be dear to you, but you know that, you're not really breaking up, but you know that that person's not good for you, and you re should really just part ways. What are your thoughts on that?
It can be really hard, and like knowing whether or not you are overreacting. That's something that I hear people often saying, like, am I tripping, or like, am I going to regret this later? And so you don't have to approach it as if you have to make a decision that's indefinite. You can start off by just giving yourself some space. Set your boundaries and actually honor them yourself. Don't expect the other person to honor them for you. But yeah, parting ways and knowing whether to do it can be very painful. So, give yourself space to heal and sit through the emotions, even if it's like in just short spurts of time, and lean on people that like you do trust and that you do feel good with, for support.
Great. So, we all don't want to have to go through that, and we don't want to have to part ways and break up, but like that's just a part of life and just, the journey of life that we go through. But if we could possibly make things work and stay together when it comes to our relationships, like what advice would you give in trying to just stick it out no matter what? Is that something you should do? A no matter what scenario, or what's your thoughts on that?
Every situation is different. Generally speaking, I think you should at least try. I mean, that's what you committed to, but of course, there are those situations where maybe intimate partner violence is involved, or it's just not feasible to reconcile. One of the things I feel like is stacked against us in marriage is that we all come with different expectations. And we're aware of that, and we typically communicate them. But the expectations that get tricky are the expectations that we have that we don't know about. And so the ones that we don't know about, well, we know about them, but we don't communicate them because we think they're common sense. Maybe they came from like what we saw or what we've just grown to know and expect, and we just assume that everybody else thinks that way. So really doing some work to like dig and think about every little expectation and like create space when you're coming together for people to evolve or to add something new. Like, don't be so rigid, like, well, we've always done this and now you're switching up and that doesn't work. Just recognize that you're both learning and growing and communicate it as you start to know it and notice it. The other part I talk to people about is really learning how to meet your own needs. It doesn't mean that you can't rely on your partner or ask for what you want, but for them to be the end-all be-all, where like your happiness is contingent on them doing or saying the right thing at the right time, that's a really unfair position to put your partner in. And so figuring out, like, if I am someone who wants to go out on a date every Friday night and my partner just doesn't do that, that's just not what they want or what they need. It doesn't mean that they don't love me enough. It just means that that's just not on their radar. But if you were to initiate and say, hey, let's go to such and such on Friday, I'm sure they would oblige. And so not letting that be like beneath you for you to initiate. I just feel that like there are no perfect relationships because there's no perfect person, right? It has to be built. And so that's a part of the work. I feel like people throw in the towel because their partner isn't showing up exactly how they want at all times, or they just feel like, I need to find someone who can read my mind, which isn't really fair. And I don't think they think about it as reading their mind, but essentially that's what it is.
You're so right. A lot of people feel like, you should already know this, you know me, like, mm-hmm. But that's not the reality. And it's so much that we have to express that we don't realize, like you said, you know, you don't even realize some of the expectations you have on people until you get in those scenarios. And then you guys get into it because you expected one thing, they didn't know what your expectations were, vice versa. So knowing those expectations is very important. But again, like you said, something that you're going to have to fill out as time goes, especially if you're in a relationship, because it's a journey. And I do know also that, you know, people do change within that journey. You know, it could be one way in the beginning, and that person may be going through different things within themselves. And, you know, they're not the same person as when things started. So are you willing to just continue to go forward with that person as they're changing or evolving? Or, you know, should you go separate ways? I guess that's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not always cookie cutter. And I think one debate that I haven't even solved internally is like, well, what is settling? You know, it's like, how do I know that I'm settling? You know, I want better for myself or for the relationship that I'm in. But yeah, what are your thoughts? Like, is that something that your guest or that you've thought about?
Settling. Yes, everybody's talks about settling. But yeah, what is that for you? I guess, again, that's like an individual interpretation of what settling is. But again, like, if you have these really high expectations that are beyond human ability, mm-hmm. then you're always going to feel like you're settling. So at some point you have to find your happy place. And again, like you said, that's why you have to do the work on you as well, because you can't expect that person to be, again, your everything. And I've talked about that in a past relationship. Basically, you shouldn't expect that person to be able to satisfy everything for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the fairy tale idea that we have when we get in relationships, men and women, like, she's supposed to be my everything and he's supposed to be my everything. But we have to kind of break that. I think we really should do that as young people and young people growing up, to see, you know, that's not the reality. And then we're in a time, a day and age where relationships, a lot of them are dysfunctional. There's not a lot of people getting married anymore. There's a lot of single parenting and co-parenting situations. So as young people are growing up, they just see all these different type of things that, you know, don't look great. So what do they do as they go forward into their relationships when they become adults? So it's a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And I like what you said, you know, like, well, what is settling? I think someone who is questioning whether or not they're settling, should probably sit and really grapple with what do they define as settling? Because if settling is accepting anything that deviates from your ideal, I don't think that's it, right? It should be a bit more egregious than that.
Yeah, I think you should have some major points where you say, I need these specific things, but every little tit for tat detail of a person and their, the way they interact or certain things that they do, or, you know, they may have some type of, what do they call it, pet peeve. Like if they do the pet peeve and then it's like, it's over because that, I hate that, that's my pet peeve. Mm-hmm. is that cause for settling?
Or one thing I hear people say, or even things that I've felt in the past myself as I grew in my own relationship. We just celebrated our 10th year anniversary this October, by the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely excited. And I just feel so blessed to have made it, because those first few years were a doozy. I've made like every mistake that there possibly was to make. But, you know, part of it, I hear people say, okay, I don't want to deal with this for the rest of my life. And I've thought that, like, oh, I got to nip this in the bud, like right now. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. And the thing is like, if I've committed to spend my life with you, we have our whole life together to figure these issues out. A lot of times they are really petty. Like it's usually because I didn't communicate a need. I'm just thinking that, like, duh, you should know this, bruh. Like, and so having the notion, or like having a mindset that, like, this is long term. I've picked a partner that I think I can build with, that gives me the best chances, right? But then we're still building. There is no, I get married and then everything's supposed to just fall into place. No. You choose to get married and you continue to build, and the building never stops.
I like that. I like the fact that it's a journey, and that, you know, because I know a lot of people's mindsets are, this is the same person, or it's going to be the same thing. But no, you guys are changing and changing as time goes by and adapting to each other. And again, like you said, you have to have that long-term mindset, which I think is missing in a lot of people today and society today in general. Is, you know, they're getting married, but they're not thinking long-term. Mm-hmm. They're just thinking in that moment, and then they just, you know, either get bored. You know, it's just, again, petty reasons of why people get together and break up. And that long-term thing, I think, is really important. So I'm going to kind of thank you for telling me about the 10 years, but I'm going to ask you, like, what made you kind of hang in there in your relationship for so long? Because I know you said it was rough in the beginning, but you guys hung in. It's been 10 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What made you just say, I'm going to stick this out?
You know, I told you that I identify with having an anxious attachment. And I will just say that I was very blessed to pick a partner that was patient through that. And through my relationship with him, I've been able to develop a more secure attachment because he's shown up in ways that repaired some of my past wounds. Like, it kind of demonstrated that not all arguments in like this, or not all instances or pain points have to end in the way that I learned it that they did in the past. But really, it's just, I committed to this man. You know, it's a hard question because it's one from privilege, I guess, in that he hasn't put me through the ringer. And so, like, yeah, it's easy to say committed to this guy. But we did the work to really work through the communication issues that make marriage hard. People always say marriage is so hard, it's difficult, but they never really explain why. And you kind of have to discover that on your own. And that's the things that I've discovered is what I'm sharing with you today, you know, really getting familiar with your expectations, your own, not just your partner's, so that you can communicate them effectively, and then learning how to meet your own needs. Like, those are two biggies. I would say the turning point was when I was pregnant with my daughter, because I was so keyed in on making sure that, like, my body was relaxed and that she didn't feel any, like, anxiety or stress from me. So that made me kind of slow down in some ways and really think about what I'm feeling and what I needed. And I started to be able to communicate that more effectively. I think before, my default was, well, you hurt me, so I'm going to lash out and hurt you back so you see how it feels. And that was never effective. It would always escalate. And so, but when I was able to say, like, hey, that kind of hurt my feelings, you know, did you mean to do that? Well, can you apologize? Well, it may sound really, like, childish. It actually, like, helped us get on a better and more healthy path to communicating. Yeah, so I hope that kind of answers it for you. I guess it answers more of the how versus the why. But why? Because I love him. Granted, that's not enough. I don't think that love's enough. You have to make a conscious decision every day to stick it out. And what we've been building has been worth it. But I have just as much power in building that than he does. I don't rely on him to build that on his own. We do it together. I'm responsible for my happiness, not him. And that was the turning point. I wouldn't put it all on him.
Yes.
Like, I'm mad because, or I'm sad because you did this or said this or didn't do this or didn't say this. You know, like, that's silly.
I like the fact that you again said you're responsible for your part. So if you put all you can in and you do the best you can, then that's all you can really ask for. And of course, communicate to your partner, you know, what you want and what you need. But thank you so much for your transparency and sharing that. And I hope somebody can really learn from your story and what you're sharing. Thank you so much. I want to close out with asking you, you know, we do all want to stay together again, but if you do have to break up and you find yourself in that scenario and situation, like, what are the best practices to break up in a way where it's, I know it's always going to be hard, but, like, more of a healing process, something where it's amicable, you know, something where you don't have all of this regret, or you want to have revenge, or, like, how do you break up? Like, the best way to break up, let's say you're the person that has to do the breaking up, or you're the person that's broken up with, like, what's the best way to part ways in your opinion?
Well, first, like I said, you know, really just think it through. When we are kind of abrupt or we do it in the heat of the moment, it creates a possibility that we won't get the closure that we need. Granted, you can get it later, but sometimes it's difficult to circle back when it was such an explosive departure. So if you can avoid doing it during a heated time and, you know, sit on it, and if you still, you know, think that that's the right choice, do it from a calm space if possible. Also, I would say reflect, you know, reflect and identify so you can interrupt unhelpful patterns that you notice, whether that's before the breakup happens and definitely after, so that you don't repeat unnecessary cycles and go through pain again. At least if I'm going to go through pain, I'm going to find a new way to do it versus doing it the same way every time. Honoring your boundaries, you may need space. You know, I am intrigued by people who can break up and then they're still, like, I don't know, talking as if nothing ever happened. Like, it's kind of confusing to me. And it seems like it sends a mixed message. It doesn't mean that, like, you may not ever be friends or at least cordial, but I do think that clearing the air and cleaning the slate is really helpful to start the healing process versus delaying it.
Well, thank you. I like everything that you said, and I really appreciate you coming on and being a part of the podcast. I want to ask you if people want to connect with you, you know, through Port Counseling or through your social media or any other outlets. Can you share that information with everyone?
Absolutely. So we are on Instagram, and that's at Port Counseling Group, P-O-R-T Counseling Group. And you can check out our website at portcg.com.
Do you have any socials that you can connect with people direct? Like if they just want to talk to you, Miranda, is that possible or is that not a thing?
Yes, of course. I'm just a little shy. It's what is it? Jesus. Instagram, my handle is, I keep changing it. That's why. Miranda Campbell LCSW. So Campbell is spelled C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L.
Okay. Thank you so much, Miranda. You have a blessed one. I really appreciate your feedback and everything you share with us today with your professional opinion. Thank you so much. You have a great one.
You too. Thank you so much.